Or is this like a duo? Are we getting the Baratheons back again? Is the Baratheon band back in business?
Alliteration. Welcome back to Charge It to the Game, a Game of Thrones rewatch podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Lovegood, Luna's favorite cousin, one of two red bones kissing in the backseat. And I'm joined by my co-hosts, Gingy, my op, and TJ, whose mailing address is firmly at the center of women's business.
I'm never in women's business. If there's one thing I strive to be out of, it's women's business.
You stay in women's business, because every time I got something to say about it. Anyway, this week, we are discussing Game of Thrones Season 3, Episode 6, The Climb, an air date of May 5th, 2013, written by David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, directed by Alex Sarkaroff, and had a rating of 5.5 million.
So, good.
Steady climb.
Here's a disclaimer for the audience here. Once football season is over, it won't feel so mean.
No. I think
it honestly feels like we're all enemies here. And it's only because of football season. This is what football and fantasy football do to you.
I feel like y'all two are enemies. More enemies than, like, I feel like me and Lauren should be more enemies than y'all two.
No.
You know what?
I'm over here just minding my 6-2 business.
Just lost your wide receiver too. I mean, gossip.
Oh, no. All the Steelers wide receivers are healthy. I care about the Steelers, not about my fantasy football team. I have my real team has something to play for. I know you are looking forward to fantasy.
I am.
My real team's still in it.
I am. Fantasy is all I have. And yet, and still, I am not in the message boards acting like an emotional bitch as much as some other people. That's all. But anyways, this is, again, not a fantasy football podcast.
It is not.
This is a Game of Thrones podcast.
Which we love.
Are you guys ready to
get started?
Yup.
All right. Let's kick things off beyond the wall, where Samwell Tarly is the father that stepped up.
It really is.
Can't build
a song. Yeah, can't build a fire, but boy, can he sing.
Well, no, he built the fire. He just couldn't. He was struggling keeping it alive.
True.
Right. Like how I built a child. And then my husband struggles to keep it alive. But she does help him. He does get it figured out. He would be out here freezing to death without her. I feel like she would probably be mostly okay.
And she just said the childless. Second nicest thing to him.
She said what?
The second nicest thing to him that she said. Which I knew you were highborn.
Rich baby daddy.
Yo, was that really like a nice thing she said, or was she using it as like a slight?
No, I'm gonna tell you what.
That was nice.
No, she said Sierra's prayer. Like, she got her Russell Wilson, and I love it for her. Go ahead, Gilly.
Yo, let's not talk about Russell Wilson on this podcast. Like, I don't want to jinx the good vibes. I don't want to take no chances that he sucks after the bye week. So.
Ooh, buddy. I see, these are problems that I don't carry.
You're right.
Hot basura. So, anyways, dragonglass weapons. Once again, what are they for? Because, like, this is a very specific material to make weapons out of.
And very specific of them showing it again. Like, we now, like, it's a weapon. Like, we can see it. They want to show, like, it's not like he's pulling out a random piece of it that's, like, broken off. He's pulling out the spearhead.
Hell yeah. So what? And Ginge, what did you say that you thought it was for? You thought it killed dragons?
To pierce dragon skin, yeah.
All right. All right.
They
well,
have hard scales.
They are a few days from Castle Black, so that's where he's taking her. Don't know what he thinks he's going to do with her when they get there. But it's a plan, I guess.
So one thing I want to say about this episode, like it's kind of like a mid episode, but like the theme of the episode is all throughout this episode. Like this episode is called The Climb. He's talking about how tall the wall is, 700 feet high, made of ice. It sweats.
It weeps.
Yeah, it weeps, whatever he said. But yeah, episode's decent. Like it's okay. It's fine. But the theme is all through this shit.
It is. And we also, at the end of the scene, get his close-up moment when he says he doesn't sing and Gilly says sing and he's like, is this my camera?
Yeah, I know, right? I don't sing. Sing. Okay.
Me, 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 me.
He ain't even warm up the vocals. He just went straight into it.
And it's a very bleak shot. Just the three of them in the middle of nowhere with a baby whose face is frozen.
Baby should not be alive.
Oh, it's rough, but
that baby ain't got no socks on.
At least she's covered the baby's head.
True.
Okay, a little further south, but still in the north, Bran has to stop his party from turning into Baddies North.
Man's keeping the peace over there.
Yeah. True leadership qualities, the way he broke up that argument.
Yo, that's impressive.
The way she skinned that rabbit and pulled his arm out.
The way he broke it up without having any legs to walk, really. Like, he couldn't go over there and break it up. Like, he did it all by voice. Like, you don't see that much. Usually, you got to step in the middle. Like, he can't walk step in the middle. He was still able to break it up.
I will argue that sounds regal to me. To me.
Alpha.
Yeah, and what are alphas usually? Leaders. You know. Important people.
Are you trying to trigger me?
I don't know, but what about that? What
about yeah, I'll tell you later.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I am.
Okay.
Anyway, OSHA does know the best way for skinning rabbits. It was awesome watching her pull that spine out. Super gross. And Mira seems a little uppity. That's how I feel about
just,
Mira.
Just a tad bit.
A little bit. Now here's my big question. How come when Jojen has a vision, he has a full-on seizure? Like, it takes a toll. When Bran has a vision, he's just like, I was asleep and I woke up.
Because the toll has already been taken on Bran. Man ain't got use of his legs.
Okay.
Hey.
And look, that's a good way to put it, because I was about to ask you, do you think this is what's to come for Bran? Because we don't know how long Jojen's been having these visions for. So, like, is this one of those things where it just progressively gets worse as I mean, you go on and on and
it
on?
It could, but it could affect different people different ways.
Okay. I really like your thing that, like, this is Jojen's price and Bran already paid his. I like that.
I like that, too.
But we'll get back to Jojen's vision later. We'll circle back to Jojen's vision. Right? Because right now we're gonna move on to the Brotherhood, where they have a crossover episode with Dragonstone. Pretty sweet. Like, storylines are starting to collide. We're getting excited.
They are.
How did you feel when you saw Melisandre roll up, Ginge?
Just got more questions now.
Like, all right, let's break this down.
So like, she's going to them and gets Gendry. So now is it like, does he get Gendry because for Stannis? Because I really don't think Stannis know that she going to get him.
Yeah, I mean...
And then, like, how did Melisandre even know about Gendry?
Well, Melisandre did tell him that there were other people...
Oh, yeah,
true. With his blood. Yeah, I was going to say, we kind of got this answer.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, so, but what do you think intention is with Gendry?
That part, I don't know, because she said to him that he is more than what everybody else is in that party.
Here's my thing. If you were watching this for the first time, right, it's kind of like she's kind of all over the place because she just throws out this whole the prince that was promised thing. And like, yeah, she's just all over the place. Like, who is it? Who are we talking about? So now is she like changed gears? Is she leaving Stannis for good because she thinks Gendry is the one true king? The man who should save the world? Or is this like a duo? Are we getting the Baratheons back again? Is the Baratheon band back in business?
Alliteration.
So it's hard to know what she thinks at this point, just because like I don't think she knows what she thinks, honestly.
But it was interesting to see her interaction with Thoros.
Yes.
Who we find out was sent here to stop Bobby from drinking and whoring and just fell into it himself. Mm-hmm. Had a slight crisis of faith and then casually brought his homeboy back from the dead and now he's a full-on believer. I get it.
Yeah, man, won't even believe him. He just said, I just said it because it's my friend.
This is the first thing that came to mind. But like Melisandre's shock when she saw Beric and like all the scars and like heard how many times he came back. Like what do you think that shock was about?
That she thought she was the only one that could do stuff like that.
Okay.
Mm. I don't know. Maybe it's shocked that she doesn't think this is even possible. Like, it could be one of those things where you hear about it and she's just never seen it. So, like, this might be one of those testing of the faith things. Like, oh, well, you say he can bring people back to life and we just had this huge fucking battle and I ain't seen one person rise from the dead.
I mean, though... The Lord of Light produced something in her belly and then she pushed it out.
But she produced death. She hasn't really given life.
I mean, is not bearing a child giving life?
That I don't want a child and that thing was...
I mean, that thing, it can't.
That thing's gone.
She developed it.
Yeah, but that thing did the deed and is now dead itself. So, like, she literally just... brought death upon the world in more ways than one. And now, like, she's seeing that the Lord of Light gives life as well. Maybe that's why she's so shocked.
Okay. We will stew on those. Because now it's time for Gendry to get his ass in the cart. Because we gotta go. Wow. The things the Brotherhood will do for gold.
It was a lot of gold, though. Those bags were full.
Yeah, they were. And, you know, it's easy to blame Arya like, for, like, not having enough information about the Brotherhood here. But, like, every time she turns around, like, she misses the most important part of the conversation. And then it just seems like they're in it for the gold. But she's missing, like, why? And then she gets, like, the tail end.
Oh, it doesn't matter, like...
Oh, yeah, it doesn't matter. But I'm saying, like, maybe she'd be more understanding if she was there for that whole entire conversation about.
I don't think so. See,
Gendry and the blood and all that stuff.
This is what Gendry gets for not listening to me when I say that men will say anything. Because you thought these were your brothers, homie. You thought you had a job and a family. Oopsies.
Yeah, you thought.
So, I guess we'll see. What happens to Gendry from here? Or we won't. could be just a giant loose end. Who
yeah,
knows?
I'd be so mad. I would probably not continue watching.
Well, you got to. We do a podcast now. You,
no,
you kind of
well,
stop.
Every podcast, every episode, I'm just going to sit here in silence because I ain't watched an episode.
I'm just here in protest.
Oh, side note. Somebody from work listened to our podcast.
What?
Today. And they enjoyed it. And they said that you, Lauren, are the most analytical one on the podcast. I had to disagree because I feel like I'm that person. But like I was told that I'm like the funny one. And then James is like gives like that new perspective on things.
Yeah. Oh.
So hopefully they rated us.
I hope so. Thank you, TJ's coworker. I'm sure you do so much more work than TJ does.
Probably so. Probably so.
When Melisandre talks to Arya and she says something about there's more than one set of eyes you've seen in the background.
We'll come back to that.
We'll get to that.
All those eyes are the people on her list, is my theory that she's seeing.
Okay.
So anyway,
I'm going to bring that back up in the quote section, but I'm going to bring it back up in the quote section and not put any kind of analysis on that at all.
Yeah.
I feel like the quote section this time is the very much a no analysis.
Yeah, it's not much we can say really without spoiling everything. But
cold turkey.
But yeah, we will say some stuff in the quote section that you just need to keep in the back of your mind.
Or the front of your mind.
Keep it in the back. It's going to be a while. It's a long series.
Well, speaking of long series.
Good segue.
Theon's about to lose a finger. Yucky.
So this right here, like, signifies that instead of being flayed, like, just take the bitch off. Like, don't pull my skin. Just take the whole thing.
Isn't it interesting how we just watched, like, he got his finger flayed, right? After we watched that rabbit get skinned. It's...
They messed this up here.
All right, let's hear it.
The dude said, what body part can I cut off with that you don't need? And just a couple episodes ago, we showed one of the Sullied get their nipple cut off because they ain't needed. So obviously they should have cut Leon's nipples off because we don't need them.
Yeah, I really thought you were going somewhere else.
No.
It would have made me happier if you went somewhere else, to be honest with you.
Nope.
Oh, man.
Well, he's given the opportunity to play a game to keep his finger.
We just had an episode of Saul.
We did. And I think there's like two really, really top tier scenes in this episode, and this is one of them.
What is it?
What about the scene?
Yeah, expand on
just
that.
The manipulation. So, okay. Like, we get the game, like the Saul game, whatever. But then we get this whole, like, if you guess who I am, I'll tell you. He starts guessing he's wrong. Then we get to the car Starks, right? And then he started to tell Theon information he doesn't know. Like, Torrhen Karr Stark's dead. Got killed by the Kingslayer. And then Theon's like, oh, but you're his brother. And, like, he lets him think that. And I think this is where we kind of get into... I mean, have we confirmed who he is yet?
No.
Okay. So I think this is where we kind of start to see.
I think we can confirm that he is a psychopath.
He is indeed a psychopath. But I think
he's doing this for shits and giggles.
So I think we really start to see right here, like, who he is as a person. Because the whole entire time has been a game to him, right? So from the start, he got Theon, was like, oh, I'm working for your sister. I'm going to save your life. You're going to come with me. And like, he puts on these personas of who he's not. So this kid has an identity crisis.
That's an interesting way to put that, for sure. For sure.
He's got something.
You can be analytical when you want to.
I can be once a month. But no, like, I think it's if we want to, you know, foreshadow a little bit, like, this kid has a fucking identity crisis. He wants to be somebody who he's not.
Yeah, but Theon also wants to be somebody. So here we are with two men with identity crises.
Well, I think Theon's kind of different because Theon thought he was an heir to a kingdom that didn't exist.
He did, exactly. That didn't exist. Somebody he wanted to be.
Yeah. But he had more right to that, where this kid is like, what? Who is he? What does he have the right to?
I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
I call him a kid, and he's probably like fucking 40. Never know these days.
Good news. The Freys have traveled to River Run to discuss marriage terms. Parentheses again.
Oh, one thing I didn't notice, I just caught in this watch through. That fucking Frey's son has a club foot.
Does he?
He does. Never noticed it until now. Like, he gets up from the chair and he's like, it's weird. And I was like, what the fuck? And then he's walking, he's just dragging his foot along.
Does that woo? Do you think that's foreshadowing?
I don't know.
I meant to house.
I was analytical 5 minutes ago. That's all I had in me. Told you once a month.
I don't want you to hurt yourself.
My brain did its thing. Smoke starting to come out the ears. Like, I'm good for the episode.
Yeah, I feel like this, what Frey asking him to have his uncle marry his daughter, is like too easy for you to sit there and go against. Like, I feel like Frey should have put up more of a fight or asked for more in return.
Should have, yes. But one thing that he did state is that his uncle has been, like, he's been trying to get him to marry one of the Freys since he was 12. So it's been like an ongoing thing. It's been a long-term thing of him wanting to marry, or Walter wanting to combine those houses.
Yeah, like, he's the prop.
And his uncle's like, I'll do it, but the more I hold out, sooner or later, he's going to let me choose.
Look at us. Like, we're holding out on, like, winning this war because you want a prettier, like, men and the dumb things they do.
Well, I don't know if that's a dumb thing. I think that's pretty accurate.
I think it's very stupid.
I'm on Edmure's side here. If you're going to make me marry one of Frey's daughters, like, at least let me choose which one.
At least let me make sure she ain't got any diseases.
Look, you don't go into a job and just say, oh, you're going to pay me $20 an hour. No, you're not. I want $22 an hour. You got to negotiate a little bit. He's just negotiating. And eventually, you're going to say, you know what? I'll take $20 an hour because I need this job.
Exactly.
But, yeah.
Yeah. But Edmure makes a good point. Like, I have to do this because you went back on your word. And, like, how come Rob didn't realize how important the Freys were when Talisa was sawing that leg off?
Right. And I love how Edmure makes that point, but it's still his fucking fault. He's like, this is, you put us here now anyway. Like, it's your fault that I even have to do this. And he's like, well, no, this is how you repay for what happened at Stone Mill or wherever the hell he said.
Well, Edmure, everybody's getting sick of your book.
And now we know that Rob is just a gaslighter. He just gaslit the shit out of Edmure.
He really did. He really, top tier analysis this week, man, for sure.
I know, man. I'm bringing my A game. I got criticized at work. I gotta step my shit up.
Well, we can go to Harrenhal next, where Jamie cut some tough ass meat and apparently a sketchy ass deal.
Yo, what was the first thing he was using to try to cut through that meat?
It was his knife, but like
it had like two prongs on it. It was kind of weird.
It's a fork. Like, he was trying to cut it with a knife, but she put the prong in it because he couldn't hold it because he doesn't have.
Yeah, I know, but it looked like he had two prongs on whatever he's cutting with in the beginning. It was just weird. It's a weird observation. I know, it's fine.
But yeah, they're both at a grotesque disadvantage, and neither of them is where they're used to being. She's in a dress. He doesn't have a hand. And
And
Bruce
Bolton's a
Bolton.
traitor.
Yeah. Oh! Come into the room.
Yeah. And it's funny that we go straight from the scene where Rob's talking about how he's losing the war. He's won every battle, but he's losing the war. And then we go into Bruce betraying him. So it all just comes full circle. You're losing because you can't keep your people. They're two men that were most valuable to you. One's betrayed you, you cut the other one's head off. Here we are.
Yep.
Wow. Well, that sucks. But it's going to get Jamie home.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Okay.
What do you think, James? Like, does this seem...
Well, I think...
Does this seem like a setup, or does this seem...
No, I think Bolton's true in wanting to make sure that Tywin knows that Bolton's the one who saved Jamie.
And that he had nothing to do with that fucking hand.
He had nothing to do with getting his hand cut off. But I'm more like, how is Brienne gonna stop it and make sure she's the one who delivers Jamie?
Okay.
Because I feel like she's gonna be really true to her promise to Catelyn.
And we've already seen that, like, it seems to be of some import to Jamie himself that Brienne...
Yes.
Escorts him to King's Landing. Like, he put his hand over hers. Like, that's his woman. That's Bae.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, he kind of like stopped her from like taking a knife and just throwing it right in Bruce's eye.
I mean, like, Bruce storyline over right there. Never have to see him again.
I wish. But yeah, she could have just ended that, but Jamie stopped her. But yeah, you can, and it's fun to see like their connection they built. So
it is. It is really nice because like he does have like obviously has some respect for her. She sees him differently. And Gingy thinks that they're gonna make it to King's Landing. It's just a matter of how.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Guys, the moment you've been waiting for. The pride of Highgarden and Tywin Lannister. A plus plus scene.
Mm. Oh, this wasn't even my other scene. I thought that was very good.
I love
this is the best scene in the episode.
This is a really good scene.
I love it. Cause you know, like your granny's got that brother that she really just does not fuck with.
I think this will be me and you in like 50 years.
Oh my God. Yes.
And in the end, I'll win, just like Tywin.
And you sure won't.
You know.
Girl, wait a minute. Because Tywin's face, when she called Cersei old.
Yo, she put up a fight. Like, Tywin, yeah.
Admit his yes. match.
Hell yeah, he did. He had to go in, he had to get deep in his bag.
And it's, okay, so this is extra interesting. This particular scene, because in the book, there's another Tyrell, and that is he's lame. I think he's got like a bum leg or something. And that's who Sansa's betrothed to, because Loras is already in the Kingsguard, because that was the plan, was like, in case Joffrey tries some bullshit, my brother is right outside the door. So knowing that and then watching this scene made it extra interesting what they chose to focus on in this discussion, where it's like, he's like, oh, well, your grandson's gay. And she's like, yeah. And like,
haven't you tried it before?
Right. And then like, he's
which is funny to tell Tywin.
And he's like, and he's all like, well, he's gay. And like, he's sitting there judging Loras. Meanwhile, his kids are fucking. There's no branches on his family tree after him.
But that's a disgusting rumor.
Sometimes you got to tell yourself something just until you think it's true. Like, you just got to keep telling yourself it.
If I say it enough, I'll start to believe it.
Like, I tell myself every year the Steelers are good. But in reality, we haven't won a playoff game in like 7 years. So, you know, there's that.
Your coach does.
I mean, y'all are above, at or above 500 every season.
But we haven't won a playoff game.
I mean, neither have we.
True. But you're used to it.
Also true.
But back to the show. Yeah, like, this is really good. Really good.
It was good.
I think, and it's funny because, like, Olenna thought she won, and then he comes back with the Kingsguard thing. And I like that you said, like, in the books that Loras was already in the Kingsguard for that reason. Because what we see later on in the episode, damn it, somebody needs to be there for that reason.
Yeah, I hope.
Joffrey is on some bullshit.
I hope you gave Jinx a trigger warning for that one.
Nope.
I did not. And you know what? I've honestly been, like, sitting here racking my brain as we're watching all these episodes on when she's going to die, because I know it's coming. And I just couldn't remember when. And I should have known it was, like, I knew it was in the season. I just couldn't remember, like, when.
I thought it was later. I didn't.
I thought it was a little later, too.
I didn't realize. Like, I realized it once I saw. We'll get to that. But yeah, anyways, turns out Loras is going to marry that old bitch Cersei. And poor Sansa stuck with fucking Tyrion. Jeepers. But speaking of Sansa and her beloved, it's all
awkward.
It's all about the climb at King's Landing. Yeah, Sansa, I think she might have started to put it together a little bit.
Oh, when he starts talking about a wedding and a dress, like, that's when the red flags would have went up.
That's when she's like, okay, no. He just wants to see me pretty. Like, he's just like, yeah, I've always thought about my wedding day and tournaments and all, like, the drinking and the merriment. Oh, you too, I guess, sis, whatever.
Yeah, the bride too. But here's what my ideal dress would look like.
Yeah.
Like, you ain't worried about the bride, but you understand what her dress is going to look like? Like, come on now.
Yeah.
He's in the fashion.
He's like, his Pinterest board is all wedding planning.
I imagine this is how, like, ASAP Rocky and Rihanna's conversations go. Since he's in the fashion and shit. He's straight, but he just likes fashion.
Listen.
He's designed some Fenty, for sure.
Yeah. Two of them churn that he put in her. Please stay off of her. We were supposed to get a tour last year. Anyways, Tyrion and Cersei are also happily watching the betrothed. I like this scene between them. These two, it just seems like a very natural sibling conversation. Like, it's very perfect.
It is.
Yeah.
Part of me thinks that when they were, like, casting and everything before they started these scenes, like, they made them, like, live together for some months. Maybe they were groomed for this role. Like, maybe they started living together as, like, fucking teenagers or something. And we just don't know it.
Yeah. But she does realize they're about to get shipped off in a boat that she built. Cersei here is too smart for her own fucking good, and now she's gotten herself into trouble.
It's your fault.
If this will be a theme, because it happened with Joffrey. This is the second time we've seen it.
Yep.
Will she learn her lesson this time?
Nope.
Probably not.
But Tyrion questions her about the assassination attempt, and we find out Joffrey's the one who tried to do it. Joffrey tried to do him in.
Yep. Which, that's even still, it's kind of like murky waters, because she just doesn't really say much, but he kind of pieces it together. But her silence could tell you everything as well.
Yeah, he knows his sister.
But I think he's giving her the benefit of the doubt here. She strikes him like she goes for him in different ways.
Yeah.
Like she wants to make him suffer. She doesn't want to give him an easy way out.
Yeah, because she knows she's not gonna win an argument.
Yeah.
But she can act. But
it was it's pretty cool to see how they both miss Jamie, but for different reasons.
Yes. And like I wrote down like Tyrion is the one person that she can be completely open with about how much she misses Jamie.
Because he does too.
Yes.
And they both depend on Jamie for different reasons.
Yeah. And also like he knows the truth of their relationship.
Yeah.
And like she can be completely open about that part of it too. Like I miss my man. Her,
those,
because
her man has moved on.
Oh,
maybe. Cersei does finally give Tyrion some credit for saving the city.
Yeah,
he finally hears it.
Yeah,
he has done the most for the city. Not all.
He really has.
And you know what he got for it? A wife, a young, beautiful, rich wife.
Imagine that though.
Having to tell,
having to break that news.
Yeah. Having to tell your child bride that you have to marry her in front of your girlfriend.
Yeah. It's hard enough telling your child bride that you got to marry her. But in front of your girlfriend? Ugh.
Yeah. Like, first of all, Sansa was very excited, so you know something bad is about to happen.
Oh, yeah.
But Tyrion is, like, he tries to be very diplomatic about it. He's not like, Shay, you definitely don't need to be here to hear this. He's like, listen, you might think you want to hear this right now, but I promise you don't. I promise you don't. Oh, well.
And he was too, like, pussy to send her out the room, too. Like, he ain't, like, make her get out. Like, once she said, no, I'm here, like, he was like, okay. We know who wears the pants in that relationship.
This is the most delicate situation of his life.
Yes. So speaking of alpha from the beginning of the episode, here's the real alpha here.
Well, let's not forget that this engagement came about because of a plot. What do we see next? Littlefinger sitting next to the Iron Throne. And that's when I remembered that this is the episode that happens in.
Yes. And this is one of the other scenes that I'm talking about. It's very good. Top tier.
Because as we're talking about a climb, like he started from the bottom, he's climbed onto the dais. And now like his further climb is like onto the throne. Like he's in the middle right now.
Yeah.
Which doesn't even have 200 swords on him.
Sure
which
does.
You know, and in my, you know where my brain went to was the change in the throne from House of the Dragon to this, because you could argue that House of the Dragon probably has 1,000 swords on their throne.
Yeah, because it extends, because
it branches out and extends.
Yeah,
it's my brain went. But it's a good scene. I think this is probably, Lauren, if you agree, Littlefinger's best scene in the series.
Yeah,
you don't think so?
I got.
No, it's.
I actually got him in the quotes.
Me too.
Oh, okay.
We probably all have him in the quotes. We'll see. Yeah. See if we all have the same thing.
I'm fully going.
Well, I just took out one section, like one little line.
I took out a little bit too, but.
But pretty much his entire speech there was top tier, like his best lines of the whole series.
It literally defines the entire episode, but also, like, the entire Game of Thrones.
Yes, because, okay, so when he started talking about the confidant that Varys couldn't protect, Ginge, where did you think it was leading?
Oh, I as soon as he said, as soon as he started saying that, talking about that person that you trusted and your confidant that you said you would protect, I was like, oh no, what did he do?
And that's when he started talking about that. That's when I remembered.
Yeah, as soon as
what happened.
As soon as he said that, I was like, oh no, she's done for.
So what did you think of the reveal?
Well, that sucked. honestly, I was surprised that they had Joffrey do it, but then, like, I'm not surprised that Joffrey did it and how he did it.
Yeah.
And also,
Joffrey's
is that his first kill?
His first.
we assume so. We can
His
only
first
assume.
on-screen kill done by
Yes.
himself. That
Yes.
kid has definitely been killing cats and small animals since.
And I think this is where we see like the rise of this monster in Joffrey. Like we're here. We've hit this peak.
Also, really interesting was the shot of Roz with the arrows in her, and it kind of matched the what we didn't talk about in the Brotherhood scene when Arya was shooting the arrows. And like,
Yes.
where she hit
Face,
the
tits,
scarecrow. Yeah.
yep.
Face, tits, and balls.
Oh, man. But yeah,
Yeah.
so Roz is done for. And Sansa's in fucking tears as she watches Littlefinger's ship sail off to the Eyrie without her. And now she's stuck here and she's got to marry the imp. Oh, my God. How fucking disgusting.
Which sucks because you're that excited. You tell him, nah, I just want to stay. And now you got to watch that shit just float off in the distance.
And like the part that he says while like the focus is on Sansa, that given a chance to climb, they refuse. So like last week she lied to him because she was like, I'm gonna marry Loras. I don't need this. Now look, now you're a little bit desperate, aren't you? Because how do you get out of here?
And this is her, what, this is her second chance to get out that she's seen walk out the door, pretty much.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Because the helm is going to take her, and now she's missing on this moment as well.
And once she gets married,
Yeah,
it's too late.
too late after that. You're in
You
there.
know, I almost think, though, that in the long run, marrying Tyrion would be better than going with
Oh, for
Littlefinger.
sure.
Yeah. Because we already know that Tyrion knows she's a child. So, like, he's not going to do anything untoward.
And as much as like in the beginning of the series, we see Tyrion as like this unhinged character with like no discipline, like he's in whorehouses, he's a drunk. Like we haven't seen him do wrong by anybody. He
Also,
hasn't mistreated anybody. Like, I mean, he slapped Joffrey around a little bit, but even then, now we excuse that.
deserve it.
Yeah, we excuse that. But Tyrion's an overall good guy.
Yes, there are worse people in King's Landing that she could be marrying.
Correct. But if
Yes.
you're a 16-year-old girl, is what we'll call her here, however old she is,
15.
15-year-old girl here, like your Prince Charming is not an imp.
No.
Doesn't matter how good he's going to treat you or how much money he has, like this is not your Prince Charming at 15.
I'm sure it'll work out. I'm sure someone will save her.
Yeah, he has money, it's fine.
Yeah, at least
Once
he.
she hits eight, once she hits 18 and she realizes that money buys you happiness, all's well. All's well.
Preach. All right, well, it's time to talk about the other climb, the literal climb, the wildlings climb, to see if the grass is really greener on the other side of the wall.
The absolutely no way in any type of world that I'm climbing that thing.
Not at all. So, and you mean to tell me the thing that's going to be like keeping me from falling is being attached to another person? Like, I'll pass.
That's what they do in climbing.
Like, you are not about to daisy chain me to three other people for one of these clumsy fuckers to fall. Hell no.
That's why you gotta trust your climber.
Jon Snow don't know these people.
Trust your climber. Meanwhile,
Yeah,
exactly. All we've seen from Oral is how much he hates Jon Snow, and Jon Snow has to trust him.
Yup.
Like, Ygritte lets him know, before they start out that they're trustworthy. Like, you're going to be loyal to me, which
I really like this.
We'll come back to that. I'll ask you a question about that in a sec. But like, first of all, Ygritte, stand up. Like, the dick could not have been that good. Jesus Christ.
It won't the dick. It was the tongue.
It was that mouth game.
Okay.
And I love how I listened back to our last episode, and I love how we talked about the guy's name being Oral, and we went straight to Oral. What a fucking transition.
But John and Ygritte have an opportunity to lose their maidenhood together as far as climbing the wall goes, because she's also never done it before.
Wall virgins.
So cute. But yeah, she also tells him if he betrays her, then she's going to cut his cock off and wear it around her neck. And I guess that's just a thing they do around here, is just wear severed body parts.
I'm honestly shocked that we have not seen a female wowling with somebody's cock around the necks already in the episode. Once she said that, I was like, damn, we have not seen that yet. Shocked.
Not yet. Spoiler alert.
Whoops.
So anyway, they start their ascent. They look like ants climbing up a tree trunk. Like, this is clearly the most dangerous thing you could ever do in your entire life. Imagine wanting to be away from something bad enough to do this. And then you get on the other side and they're like, no, go back where you came from. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? Come on. But John's playing grab ass and almost fucking gets nailed in the face with some ice.
Shit happens.
It does, because in the very next scene, there's a big crack.
Global warming.
It's just like,
right. Somebody was hammering a little too hard. Somebody like lost their technique going up.
So, like, how did you enjoy this sequence? Like, these sequence of them climbing the wall change.
Well, I have a thing for heights, so you know, this scene was a little uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Especially like all the shots downward.
Yes. And then when they did the focusing downwards, when John looked down and then they like made it like it was like a extending further, I was like, oh, that's so real.
And
I was scared though when they fell. I didn't think John was gonna be able to hold on to it.
Yeah, while Oral, like the world's biggest hater, is like, no, nope, get rid of him.
I know, didn't even try. He
is the biggest hater.
He instantly said, we got to cut him loose.
To be fair, once you're that high, like, what other options do you have? Because in this case, it might just be, you might just have to let two of them go to save the other two. Because they fall, they could take the whole fucking group with them.
I feel like that's convenient. Because like,
I didn't see them at the bottom stack hands and say, we're in this together. Nobody took a blood oath at the bottom of that damn mountain. Unfortunately, they did not sign a contract.
No, but also you kind of hate the dude underneath you, so it looks a little personal.
And if I'm Jon Snow and I know this guy hates me, I'm not going to be underneath you. Sorry, I'll
also
go first.
Also true. I'll
be under Tormund.
Yeah, I'll go first, or I'll just be right beside you.
I wouldn't have been on the same line.
That too.
Like, there were other people.
Like, we could have flip-flopped other lines.
Yeah, me and Ygritte, we'll be over here on our own line over there.
Well, they do eventually make it to the top of the wall. And they pass out, just exasperated. They look like they've just finished the final and the challenge. And then they look, and the grass is greener on the other side.
But before they look at that, Ygritte's face when she's looking down on her home, and after she said at the bottom, like, the one thing she's waited for in her entire life is to look down from the top of the wall. That was a pretty cool moment. Like, that acting that she did, like the tears in her eyes, like it felt real. Like,
yeah. And then they take the time to make out at the top of the world.
Yes. And then I love how they flip the scene and they look on the other side in the south. And then this is her first time seeing green, we can assume, right?
I just assume, yeah.
Yeah, I would assume that.
Yeah.
So I like how intentional that is for them to turn around. And then the other side, you see green grass.
And so, Ginge, now that we've made it here to the top of the wall and, like, I've saved your life and we almost made out on, like, a little, like, lip of broken wall.
Then we realized where we were and was like, yo, let's get the fuck up to the top before we do this shit.
Do you think that Jon Snow is going to stay loyal to his woman?
All right, so when they were down on the ground and she was telling him that I'm your girl, you're going to be loyal to me, I put in my notes, I was like, kind of get the feeling that John's not going to do that. Because, like, his facial expressions when she was saying all that, and of course, he's already loyal to something already. But that kiss at the top, because he initiated the kiss, I think he's going to be loyal to her.
I think it's just important to realize that John is a loyal guy.
Yes.
He's a loyal guy.
He is. This is all tearing him up inside. This is the first season of Broody Jon Snow faces. Just one in a line on Game of Thrones. And that was Game of Thrones, season 3, episode 6. The Climb. Do we have someone to pour one out for, TJ?
No question mark.
No question. No.
I don't think anybody.
Oh, got it. Every time I say no, I have to question myself.
Because it doesn't seem right.
No, because we might have another Sir Hugh moment.
I don't think anybody. Well, unless you want to say the wildlings that did fall.
Yeah,
they don't have no names.
Yeah, we ain't counting, no.
We'll pour them out for the wildlings. TJ doesn't think that you're people, but I do. And now for our quote segment, stick it with the pointy end.
Which we may have to go into some detail here. With some of these quotes, we may have to like analyze a little bit.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go first.
Well, you might take up all the quotes.
I'm gonna take one Elena. There's three. I have three Elena quotes, right? I'm gonna take
one.
One
of hers.
No, I'll just say them all.
Nope.
Fuck it.
Nope. Go for I don't it. Have any of hers.
All right.
I don't think I have any. I do have one from her, but go for it.
I think I know which one you have, so I'm not gonna say that one. But I like when she said, you men may have a stomach for bloodshed and slaughter, but this is another matter entirely. And as someone who is older than Cersei and experienced her first hot flash in June, This shit is rough. Oh my God. Help. Balls. Anyway. Oh, Tyrion, when he said it's hard to say which of the four of us is getting the worst of this arrangement. Probably Sansa, though Loras will certainly come to know a deep and singular misery.
He just had to do it.
And then when Sansa...
Because he could have just ended that, probably Sansa, but go ahead, take the next shot. Why not?
Absolutely. And then when Sansa said, I trust about Shay, I trust her, even though she tells me not to. And then, of course, Littlefinger, chaos isn't a pit. Chaos is a ladder.
That was one of mine.
Not mine.
Went first.
But honestly, his whole speech.
It was so good.
It was.
All right, you guys can pick who goes next.
I think I went last time, so I'll save you for last this time, James.
Okay.
So my first one is from Ygritte, where she tells Jon, you didn't stop being a crow the day you walked into Mance Rayder's tent. She knew. Because we kind of struggled with that at the moment when he was in there and he was like, Mance was like, can we trust you? And John's like, yeah, like we knew then that he was still part of Night's Watch. My next one is From the red woman to Arya, brown eyes, blue eyes, green eyes, eyes you'll shut forever. There's a lot in that. It's a lot in that. So if you're watching this for the first time, keep that one in the front of your mind for sure, because that's going to all come around.
Yeah. Emphatic nodding.
Yes. Sorry, I got quite a bit of them this week. And then talking to Theon, he tells him, if you think this has a happy ending, you haven't been paying attention. Again, keep that in the back of your mind, because that's going to come back around as well. And I
will say, like, just to go back to a previous thing when I asked Ginge, like, if he thinks Sam makes it, and I was like, if you make it to the end, you have a happy ending. You were like, I don't think so. I was like, are you alive? Be happy. You've made it to the end. But to your credit, yes, stick that with, yeah, the pointy end with the for sure.
My Olenna quote is, brothers and sisters, where I come from, that's the stain that'll be difficult to wash out. That's just her almost winning against Tywin, and then he just wins it in the end. And then my last one is from Littlefinger, and is, the realm is the thousand blades of Aegon's enemies, the story we agree to tell each other over and over until we forget it's a lie. And I like that one because he starts the scene off, I counted the blades. It's not 1,000. It's less than 200. And then he says it again, the 1,000 blades of Aegon's enemies. And it's a story we tell each other over and over until we forget it's a lie. So, yeah, that scene is so good.
Jens?
All right, my first one's from Ingrid, where she says, but I'm your woman now, Jon Snow. You're going to be loyal to your woman.
Period.
And then the other one comes from, I don't have their names remembered. It was when Rob, two uncles, and Kat, I'm assuming the older guy's an uncle too, right?
Yeah, that's Kat's
uncle. Yeah, okay. So him, when they're at the frays, and the older uncle's talking to the younger uncle, and they're talking about the laws of men say, blah, blah, blah. The quote is, the older guy saying, the laws of my fist are about to compel your teeth.
The blackfish.
Because that's a new insult I'm going to be using.
And when your name's the blackfish, like, you can do that.
Yup. And then, I had two more, but since you said the one from Littlefinger, Lauren, my last one is from Tyrion when he's talking to Sansa and Shay, and it's, this is awkward.
Because it very much was.
Because, yup, that'd be the most awkward thing I'd have to do.
Okay, well, since nobody said it, then I'm going to go back to Olenna when she just fully lets us know that she knows her grandchildren very well. Ah, a sword swallower through and through. Because that's just like the Madea movie when, like, the dude came out and Madea was like, yeah, we all knew. Like, we were just waiting on you to say something. Yes. So I was going to save that for one of y'all. But since nobody took it. And then this one, TJ, it's for you personally. It's flattering, really. You feeling such dread at me getting what I want.
I want nothing but the best for you.
Happy Christmas. All right, Ginge. Blind rankings.
I gave this one an 8.
8. Okay. Because that is the lowest.
Now, do you feel like shit for ranking last week's under this one, or no?
No, because of the scene between Tywin and Elena and the scene between Littlefinger and Varys. Like, that's two good scenes, whereas last season
we had. And I think these two episodes, like, because episode 4 was, like, such a high. Like, that was a really good episode. And then these two are more like, just pay a fucking attention to the series, and then everything's going to make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are definitely rewatch episodes. Sure. You see how it all fits together. You go back and watch. A lot of other stuff starts to make a little bit more sense. But that's going to do it for this week on Charge It to the Game, a Game of Thrones rewatch podcast. Don't forget to rate and review, and you can follow me at Lauren Lovegood, GOODE, on everything. So on behalf of Gingy, the 7-1,
the and 7-1,
I'm
the first place and the 6-2 Steelers.
I am Lauren Lovegood, the highest scoring team in the league, and we will see you next time. And now our watch is ended.